You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save your marriage, no matter where it is, no matter where that crisis is. Sometimes people even listen in case they are trying to head it off, right? In case they're okay right now, but they know they want to stay away from having a marriage problem. And then there are other people who are on the precipice, who are hanging on the cliff, trying to claw their way back up into the relationship. Today, I want to talk about a question I hear very often. You know, people say to me, why is it that my spouse doesn't believe that I'm going to change? Why don't they buy that? So before I answer that, let me tell you a little bit of a story. This happened years ago. If you don't know much about grad school, let me give you a little secret. When you're in grad school, you're likely to get out of shape, gain a little weight or a lot of weight, and lose your way through a healthy lifestyle. And part of the reason you lose that healthy lifestyle is because of the demands. When I was doing my graduate training, I was doing a number of training programs. I was training in three different locations, running three other offices, counseling offices, going to class every day, teaching class, and I literally would often walk out of one place and have to look in my notebook to see where I was supposed to be next. I lost track of days, I lost track of time, and all I was doing was trying to keep up with the schedule. And that's part of the task of graduate school, of just kind of making it through. Well, in the midst of that, you stop exercising often and stop eating well often, grabbing whatever's closest to you. And so part of that process affected me. I didn't really recognize it for a long time. I was getting out of shape and I was losing track of where my body was. And it wasn't that I was ever a great athlete. You know, that was one of the things I can always look back in my youth and recognize that I was not ever going to be one of those great athletes. But in college, you know, I ran some and I sailed some and I did some athletic stuff that kept me in somewhat shape. You know, the best shape I was in was the summer that I worked construction and, had to lug concrete up to the top of a building over and over. And yet when I went to graduate school, all that fell away. All that got set aside because I was busy trying to get done what I thought was important. And then one day I realized that had happened. You know, I had gotten out of shape. And so I began to work to change it. You know, I tried to exercise some more. I tried to eat better. And I did what a lot of people did. You know, I tried the Mediterranean diet and I enjoyed that and I lost weight on it. And then I slowly began to slip back into the old patterns where I would substitute things and kind of fall into traps along the way. At one point, we became vegetarian. I thought that might be the way, and I was vegetarian for a good while. But, you know, vegetarians, there's one thing about vegetarians, they have to eat vegetables. And unfortunately, a lot of times people become vegetarian and really are pastatarians or carbitarians rather than vegetarians. And that was the kind of case for me. As much as I wanted to be a vegetarian, that basically meant we weren't eating meat, but I wasn't eating a lot better. I was still eating bad stuff because I let it slip back in. And you might say that, you know, overall, what I was doing was a seafood diet. And you know that seafood, eat it. That was kind of my diet. And so I wasn't getting where I needed to. I was falling further and further behind, all the while feeling like I was doing things to get ahead. I was feeling like I was trying to change my patterns, and I was feeling like I was trying to change, you know, my exercise, my eating, and all those things. It was a feeling. I would read about it, and I would try to apply it, but as a lot of us do, we fool ourselves and we use that feeling that we're doing something to pretend like we're doing something when really I wasn't doing anything for real. So what does that have to do with you? Well, that's the truth about change. A lot of times we act like we're going to change and we pretend that we're changing, but we don't change. And so when we are hauling up our "I'm going to change this time" flag, we shouldn't be all that surprised when a spouse is not quite believing that. That's just because a spouse might have lived through watching other attempts at change, watching other promises to change. So a big reason that spouses don't believe you'll really change is because spouses do what we all do. We tend to judge the future based on the past. We tend to judge what's going to come our way based on what's back there, because that's the best predictor that we all have. except for when we apply it to ourselves. When we think about ourselves, we think, oh, I can change anything I want. I will move in a different direction. I can grow. I can change. I can develop. But when we look at others, we just look at the pattern they've played. And so we get stuck into this place where we have shown a spouse a pattern of behavior that has probably been fairly consistent. You might have constantly said, I'm going to change that. I'm going to get better at my anger. I'm going to get better at taking action. I'm going to get better at, you know, picking up the pieces. I'm going to get better at being responsible. All those things that we often have as our best of intentions. And the problem is our best of intentions create the worst of situations. And the more we head towards those good intentions without truly changing, the more firmly we demonstrate to a spouse that we're really not going to make a change. I discovered that my why was too small. The reason I was trying to change my eating habits was too small. It wasn't a big one. It was sometimes, you know, I wanted to be in a smaller clothing and look better when I spent a little time at the beach and feel better when I was playing with my kids and not be having sore body parts and things like that. My why changed one day when I got sick. And I've told this story enough times that you've probably heard it, but that was a changing point. It was a turning point in my life. It was a wake-up call, as I've used in another podcast. It was a wake-up call to something bigger. And that bigger was, if I did not truly change who I was and how I was in the world, I was going to die. And it's possible that I could do everything to make the change, and I was still going to die. In fact, that's still the case. I am going to die, right? We're all terminal, but I wasn't ready then. I had young children. I had a reason to try to move forward with life. I had a life that I wanted to live and things I wanted to do. And so my why got bigger that day. The day the doctor said, you're probably going to die. You have an 80% chance of being totally disabled fairly rapidly and 96% chance that this is going to kill you. The day that that happened, something changed in me. Something big changed in me. I had a wake-up call. Let me ask you this. Have you had a wake-up call? Has where your relationship gone at this point, has it brought you to a wake-up place? To a place where you say, you know what, I've got to change. Now back to the problem at hand. Our spouse is looking at our past behavior, and you might not want to be held captive by your past behavior, but it does, because what people judge is what they see, not what's inside. What they judge is what they've seen in your actions time and time again, not what's inside. A number of years ago, when my nephews were very young, and both of them are now young adults, but when they were very young, I remember they got into a bit of a fight, and one of them hit the other and hurt the other, and that nephew ran to his parents to tell him what had happened, and my other nephew ran up just as that one was saying, he meant to do that, he meant to hurt me. And the younger nephew pleaded that that wasn't the case. And when he said, caught me, he said, you don't know my heart. You don't know my heart. And that's the cry that we often all have, that somebody doesn't know what's really in there. You might have the best of intentions of wanting to change, but that intention has to become reality. It has to move outward. It has to go from a place of wanting to a place of action. So what do you do? Well, let's talk about one other piece here. First order change versus second order change. That's what we talk about in therapy. Is the change we're seeing in somebody, is it first order change? Or is the change we're seeing, is it a true change or a true second order change? First order change is kind of that the mask we put on. You know, we say, oh, I'll never yell at you again. And so we're very careful to manage our emotions and our words. And even though we may not be yelling, we're yelling. Because nothing's changed. Our approach to our behavior has not changed. The only thing that has changed is the volume. That's a first order change. And we all do that. We all do these first order changes. You know, I'll be more attentive. And you act like you're more attentive. You don't become more attentive. I'll take more responsibility. And so you act like you're taking on more responsibility, but you don't take on more responsibility. You want to be more connected. So you act like you're trying to build the connection, but you're not doing anything. That's a first order change. A second order change is when something fundamental in you shifts. when something big happens and you actually change on the inside, not your behavior, but your internal understanding of the world, your internal structures of your personality change. Because when that happens, guess what happens to your behavior? It transforms. But until the internal changes, until the real attitudes change, nothing will change on the outside. Sometimes when people hear me say something, it can make a change in that internal place. For instance, if you truly believed that your spouse was doing the best your spouse could do, given where they are right now, doesn't that make a fundamental change in your belief structure? Instead of saying, my spouse is doing that to me, my spouse is trying to get me upset, my spouse is, you fill in the blank. But something fundamental can change when you have a new understanding within you. Which is why I always ask people when they say they want to save their marriage, my answer is, tell me why. Why do you want to save your relationship? Because your why has to be big enough that you're going to take it on. So the first thing that has to happen in order for you to make the change is to make sure you have a big why. A big why may be because I really want to be the best person I can be. I want to be beyond who I am. That would be a why. So what do? First of all, you look at your why. You decide that you have to make a change because the why is big enough to pull you in that direction. It might be because you want to show your kids something that you never had. You want to show them an intact family in a way that maybe you never had. Or maybe you want to show the kids what it means to work through struggles. Or maybe you recognize that within you there is a true belief in the value of commitment and you want to live that out. Or maybe you believe that that person who's so upset with you and so hurt and so wounded right now is your soulmate and you've got to get back to the place where the soul is a part of your relationship. There can be lots of reasons why, but you got to capture that big why. The second thing you have to do is take 100% responsibility for your life. Now, I didn't say take 100% responsibility for your spouse's life or for anyone else's, but for your life. 100% responsibility. 100% responsibility means that you assume that you are response-able. You're able to respond to situations. You're going to choose to respond to situations differently. You're not going to react anymore. You're going to choose your response. And you have the capacity of doing that because you recognize your response can change how things go. People who say, it's not my fault, this isn't my fault, what should I have to do, or what can I do, aren't taking responsibility. To be able to say, it doesn't matter whose fault it is, I'm going to take responsibility to move forward. I'm going to take responsibility to use new skills, new abilities to move forward. I'm going to take responsibility. That's being 100% responsible. Number three is don't tell all about how you're going to change. Don't talk about it, be it. This is one of the big mistakes I watch people make is they keep saying to a spouse, I'm changing, I'm going to change, I've changed. Can't you see how I've changed? Anything that has I have changed as a proclamation will keep you on the edge. So why does this put you on the edge? I mean, wouldn't you want to tell somebody about how you're changing? Well, the problem is, when you tell somebody that, it changes the dynamics of a couple of things. So when I kept changing my diet, you know, I had a tendency of wanting to talk about it. And so I would tell people how I was on, you know, the Mediterranean diet or I was a vegetarian. And then the funny thing happened. They would always be watching to see if I followed it. It was almost like they had decided to take it upon themselves to judge whether I was following what I'd said. And so, you know, the vegetarian folks would ask what kind of vegetarian I was, and the meat eaters would try to tempt me to eat a piece of meat. And when I was on the Mediterranean diet, they would, you know, challenge me on what that meant and how I was eating that way and all kinds of things. And, you know, that's part of the nature of when we hold ourselves up to something like that. People start looking to see if we're really following through. What I really liked was when I didn't say anything and I would watch my diet and I would lose weight and people go, oh, wow, you're looking so good. You've lost weight. I didn't have to tell them because if I'd said, hey, I'm losing weight, then they would start looking to me to see if I was gaining or losing weight at each week. Whenever we proclaim it, we create an expectation in the other person. And unfortunately, that expectation becomes judgmental very easily. It puts you into a box. So if you say to your spouse, hey, I'm changing, and you keep proclaiming it, Your spouse will not be relieved. Your spouse will be watching to see if you're really making the change. And every time you deviate, your spouse will say, "See, you haven't changed at all." So instead of proclaiming it, make the change. That's the biggest thing of this, is make the change. Make it a real change. Don't just try to pretend. Don't just try to fool somebody. Really and truly make the change. Make a first order change, and then let that first order change come from the second order change. The second order change comes about because you have changed your why. You found something big enough to carry you through, and big enough that you don't have to just tell people about it. You'll let them see what you're doing. That's the big thing. Can you make people see what you're doing? See what's happening, not because you have proclaimed it, but because they're watching it happen. They notice how you're different. When you are what the change is, you don't have to proclaim it. So instead of saying the change, be the change. Instead of proclaiming how you're changing, be the changing. Be that person who's really found a deeper why. Stop telling your spouse how you're going to change. Make the change. You've got it within you. All you're doing is becoming a better person. All you're doing is becoming your best self. And that's all within you already. There's nothing else you need to add other than to uncover what's already there. You've let all of the debris of life and all of the frustrations and angers and resentments hang on so long that it's covered up the true you. But let me remind you of something. Your spouse fell in love with you at one point. You're still in there. You've just got to tap back into who you really are, not who's been covered up by the junk of life. Find that true place. Find the purer place within you, the higher place. Raise your standards. Become who you need to be. Now, if you need some help with that, I want to help you by offering you the Save the Marriage system. All you can have to do to get it is go to savethemarriage.com, get the system there. If you are ready to make that step, though, and you're really ready to make a difference, I want to remind you that what really has to happen in there is a change in thinking. You see, the thinking that got you here isn't going to get you to a better place. Your best thinking got you to here. Let me help you move beyond that. I have the virtual coaching program, and if you're interested in that and you have the system, now I want to say that again, you have to have the system because you have to have the knowledge base to move forward. But if you're ready for that, you can find out about this by going to savethemarriage.com/virtualcoaching. That's virtual coaching, V-I-R-T-U-A-L coaching, virtual coaching, one word. And once you get there, you can sign up and be a part of a program that will walk you through the process of changing who you are, raising your standards, and being the person you need to be. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.